This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How much pain in Spain?
I'm going to vote yes. Sometimes the rules are to break.
We'll examine the economic impact of Sunday's Catalonian referendum. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Catalans cheering after an independence referendum on Sunday. Many were able to vote despite the Spanish government trying to shut down what it insists is an illegal poll. Catalonia makes up 20% of Spain's economy. So what effect will the uncertainty have now? Ángel Talavera is a Eurozone economist at Oxford Economics.
The truth is that we haven't seen any real impact yet on the economy, not in any way that we can measure. But my guess, and I think it's reasonable to think that this will start having an impact eventually. In terms of, we'll see bond yields going up a bit. We'll probably see Spanish equities also underperforming. I think we've seen that a bit already. We also saw S&P on Friday withholding what everybody thought would be a rating upgrade for Spain based on this issue. So yeah, there are effects that are already taking place.
What does it mean for Spanish debt then?
Everybody's quite concerned about Spanish debt given its size. I wouldn't be too concerned in the short term. I think bond yields are going to be still low. I think we still have the ECB buying bonds. And I do not expect there will be a return to the situation we had in, say, 2012. But clearly, this is like the kind of thing that can start making investors nervous. And if the bond yields start to go up, it will have an impact on economic growth.
So the Spanish economy has been growing really well, almost 3%. Do you think that's at risk now?
It is true that this comes at a not the best time for a Spanish economy because we're starting to see the first signs of a deceleration in economic growth. It will probably add into the headwinds that we're going to have in the next few quarters.
Ángel Talavera. Let's do the numbers. Spain's IBEX index fell on the vote, declining by more than 1%. The euro's also fallen down 0.66% against the dollar to $1.17. Japan's Nikkei closed up 45 points or 0.22%. More from Japan because business confidence in the world's third largest economy hit a 10-year high. Will it help bolster the chances of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe in his bid to get re-elected later this month? The BBC's Karishma Vaswani has more.
The Japanese leader Shinzo Abe's decision to call a snap election this month wasn't based on the turnaround in Japan's economy. Mr. Abe is hoping that he'll ride to victory on the back of his improved approval ratings due to his handling of the North Korean crisis. But the fact that Japanese businesses are doing better than expected won't hurt him. However, as always, the devil is in the details. And while some big manufacturers in Japan are doing better, prices in Japan are still low, and wage growth is still relatively weak. For a real and sustained recovery to take root, Japanese people need to feel confident enough of their financial future so that they can head out to the shops and spend. And that's not happening just as yet. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
American business schools are losing out. International student applications have been declining, and a new report suggests President Trump's immigration policies may be to blame. But America's loss is someone else's gain. The BBC's Kim Gittleson went 2 hours north of London to Nottingham's business school, where students begin classes today.
Nottingham, here in the heart of the UK, is best known as the home of Robin Hood, who took from the rich to give to the poor. But today, it's students who are hoping to get rich who are flocking here. I'm at Nottingham's business school, which has seen a 25% uptick in interest from international students.
My name is Abel. I'm from India.
Why did you decide to come here?
Well, I think it's time for me to proceed further in my career.
Many of them told me they wanted an international experience, even if the political environment is heading in the other direction. Sangeet Chopra is the president and CEO of GMAC, the nonprofit that administers the GMAT, which is the test that most students have to take in order to apply to business school. He says his organization surveyed 1,000 business schools across the world, and they found that international student interest in U.S. business schools had declined by nearly two-thirds.
I think it's a combination of two different things. One is this concern about not necessarily the political environment, but its impact on post-study work visas, such as the H-1B visa in the United States. And it comes at a time where there is high-quality educational options increasingly being available in other places around the world, some of whom are rolling out the welcome mat.
Are we going downstairs? Or
yeah,
we can do. Cool. I like that it says Welcome International Student Enrollment.
Back at Nottingham, I met Phil Considine, who heads up the Graduate Business Program. He told me that Nottingham's success might be something that U.S. schools should look to.
In the U.K., there was an issue around 5 years ago where we stopped giving post-study work visas to overseas students. And it caused us a problem because a lot of universities hadn't really figured out what they were going to do to attract overseas students. So my guess is that that's probably happening currently in the States.
Looking out from the school's windows, you can see the beginning of Sherwood Forest, which might be a lesson for U.S. business schools who could be distracted by the trees. In Nottingham, I'm the BBC's Kim Gittleson for Marketplace.
Finally, China's Sichuan province produces many things, iPhones, computers, those signature red peppercorns. But one commodity caused pandemonium this weekend, the Chengdu Research Facility's 11 furry panda cubs, including three sets of twins on their first outing. For $100, you can even pick up and hold them. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.